Good morning. Today's Daf and Chagiga, your test. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're at the very bottom of the Amud. We started the Sugya of Tumat Tahara. We're in the middle of the second parak of the Masechta. We're going to be finishing the second parak in just a day from now. Yud Hashem. But we are here starting a totally new topic. As we discussed already in the beginning of the Masechta, took the Masechta and divided into two parts. The first part dealing with the Karbonos that are brought on Yantav, on every Yantav. And the second part dealing with Tumat Tahara. Tumat Tahara admittedly not related so much to Seder Moed. However, there is a relationship between Tumat Tahara and Yantav. Rashi brings this up in yesterday's Daf, yesterday's second Amud, where on Yantav there are certain relaxations of rules of Tumat Tahara, which we're going to be articulating later in this second half. And so, therefore, since there is a interplay, intersection between Tumat Tahara and Yantav, and just the more general point, and that is when going into the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be in a state of Tahara. So, therefore, here at the end of Masechta Chagiga, so we're going to be spending a little over a week going over some of the basic issues of Tumat Tahara. Yesterday, Yuches Amud Beis, the Mishnah that opened up the top of the Amud, really is the beginning of the second half of the Masechta, where it discusses the requirement to be notel yadayim, to wash your hands. So washing your hands is a mala, it's a chumrah midrabbanan. It's a rabbinic institution that was made, because as we already discussed in yesterday's daf, that when it comes to Tumat Tahara, it's all or nothing. Either you're tummy or you're not tummy. Min ha-Torah. Or you're tahor or you're not tahor. So it is extraordinarily binary. But meanwhile, the chachamim instituted certain elevated statuses of Tumat Tahara. So this is a rabbinic, institution, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf. So, and the rabbinic institution is complex. It's got levels and it's got certain complexities to it. And so over here at the end of the second paragraph, so we're learning those complexities. We discussed yesterday the requirement to tovel your hands for chulin, meiser, truma, kodesh, and chatas. And the, as we move up in kedusha, so, and in tahara, so there's going to be more requirements as we have been speaking about. Also, there's an element of kavanah, which is going to be a big part of today's daf, and that is that when you wash your hands, you have to have in mind what you're washing your hands for. When you tovel in the mikvah, you have to have what in mind you're going to be toveling for. So that's also a big part. In yesterday's daf, we had a stira, which we ended off yesterday's daf with resolving. And that is the discrepancy between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Bikurim. Our Mishnah tells us that for chulin, you have to wash your hands. In other words, you're going to eat chulin. The chulin is nothing. It has no kedusha, it has no elevated status, it's just talking about regular food. So yeah, our Mishnah tells us that when you're eating chulin, you have to wash your hands. No ling layadam lechulin, that's the first three words of our Mishnah. Meanwhile, the Mishnah in Bikurim says that when do you have to wash your hands? You have to wash your hands when you're eating truma, but you don't have to wash your hands for maaser. And it goes without saying, if you're not washing your hands for maaser, you don't have to wash your hands for chulin as well. That's the Mishnah in Bikurim. So obviously that presents a stira. What do we do with that stira? So the Gemara says we're going to make a distinction. And that's where we ended off yesterday, and that the difference between when you're eating chulin bread versus chulin fruit. When you're eating chulin bread, you have to wash your hands. When you eat chulin fruit, so you do not need to wash your hands. In fact, Rav Nachman says, if you're washing your hands for chulin fruit, so you're migasei haruach. It's religious arrogance, and obviously don't do it. So that's where we ended off yesterday, and just I'm going to do something which I normally don't do, but in the context of a daf yomi. And that is, just take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, because the Gemara gives no explanation. Meaning, the Gemara's conclusion now is that when you're eating bread, if it's chulin bread, but still prior to doing so, you must wash your hands. So that is the, that's the Gemara's conclusion. Why? So the Gemara doesn't say. And the truth of the matter is that in the Gemara itself, the Gemara never gives clarity in terms of why that should be. So I'm opening up a Shulchan Aruch and just going to be reading a short section of Mishnah Berurah. The halacha is very clear. In Kuf Nun Ches, by the way, parenthetically, in yesterday's daf, I know it's not a lot of halach lamaisa, but meanwhile, if you look at the side of the Ein Mishpat, you'll see probably, I don't want to say the most, but you'll see an unbelievable number of notations of halacha, because even though in terms of practical halacha for you and I, there aren't a lot of, but in terms of Tumat Tahara, there's a lot of conclusions that we arrived in yesterday's daf. So there happens to be a lot of halacha from yesterday, but in terms of halach lamaisa, so this last point that we just made is halach lamaisa. Kishiyavol echol pasta, the Mechaber writes in the beginning of Kufnin Ches. So when you eat bread, shemevarchin olav hamotzi yitol yadav. So bread that you're going to be saying hamotzi over, so you have to wash your hands. Afilo ani yodea lehem shem tuma. Even if you don't have any history of tuma with your hands, nevertheless, there's a requirement to wash your hands. Good. Viyavarchal nitzilas yadayim, and you make a brach of an alitzilas yadayim. So it's a really straightforward halacha, but the reason why I'm citing it is simply because the Mishnah Berurah over here, who organizes the information really well. Why do you wash your hands over bread? meaning the Gemara says so, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. But why? So Tom, the Mishnah Berurah, the first Mishnah Berurah in the Siman. So Tom Takanas Netilas Hu Mishum Mishnei Dvarim. Sorry. There are two reasons why it is that we're going to be washing our hands over bread. Echem Mimei Srach Chuma. So one is because of what's called Srach Chuma. Srach Chuma, meaning that you are... It's glued, it's connected to truma, but that itself requires more of an explanation. He gives one. Look, our hands are all over the place, touching everything. And go back to a time when the Kohanim were eating truma. So there is a requirement, a formal rabbinic institution requirement to wash your hands before eating truma. Because what you may end up doing is you may end up being metame the truma. Now, being metame the truma, so that's not good. Truma temea cannot be eaten by the Kohanim. Now, chulin temein can be eaten by you and I, but truma temea cannot be eaten by Kohanim. Ukadeshi yovigil makohanim bezeh, gazru gam kain, akol ish yisrael chalpasha asalecho achi yitol yadav. And so now, in order to help the Kohanim, so we're going to be deputized to basically give an assist. Meaning that now the legislation is that we're all going to wash our hands. We're all going to wash our hands. And now the Kohanim are going to look around. They're, you know, everyone's washing their hands before they're eating. Okay, they're going to wash their hands as well, prior to eating as well. Okay, and even though obviously now we don't have Truma, the Kohanim are not eating Truma nowadays, but still the Takana is still in place. The Takana was instituted, never repealed, and hopefully the Beis HaMikdash will be built speedily in our days, and we're going to go back to the Kohanim eating Truma. Okay, that first explanation, by the way, is a little bit difficult just in terms of helping us understand the distinction that was made in the Gemara between bread and fruit. Meaning, if the issue over here is to get the Kohanim just into the habit of washing their hands prior to eating food, so bread obviously can be a product of Truma. In fact, bread is a bread. In other words, your mafish Truma of wheat, and so the Kohanim could be making Truma bread that they'd be eating. But at the same time, however, same thing is true regarding fruit, meaning fruit also. You're taking off Truma from fruit as well, giving that to the Kohanim as well. So it, for that first reason, it is a little bit difficult to understand why a distinction would be made between bread and fruit. I'm throwing it out there. If somebody has a good explanation, great. But that would be reason number one. So and there's another reason behind the Netilas Yadayim, and that is elevated cleanliness and sanctity. So here there is a Gemara in Brachos that speaks to this idea, and so therefore, for purposes of elevated sanctity and cleanliness, so therefore there's an institution to wash hands over the eating of bread. Now here you can eat. At least I can attempt to give a svar in terms of why bread as opposed to fruit, because bread is normally something which is koveya. In other words, that's something which establishes a meal. So in other words, for snacking, obviously we want to be elevated in status, but in terms of an actual institution, a legislation, to go ahead and to wash hands, so for bread, which normally reflects the meal in which we're going to be sitting down, you're going to be koveya suda, so the chachamim are only mistaking that on bread as opposed to fruit. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah gives two reasons why it is that there is an institution to wash hands over bread that just simply ends off yesterday's daf, Tanu Rabbanan. We pick it off where we left off yesterday. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are five lines from the bottom. And we start today with a braisa. And that is, Anotel Yadav Niskavin Yadav Taharos, Lo Niskavin Yadav Tameos. So you wash your hands and you have the proper kavana. So good. So now your hands are tar. And if you don't have the proper kavana, so your hands are tummy. V'chein Amatvil Yadav. And if you dip your hands in the mikvah. Now I know that sounds funny, but if you were there for yesterday's daf, so you know that on for certain activities, washing your hands with a cup of a quarter of a log of water is insufficient. Meaning, for us, an eating of chulin, it's perfectly sufficient. However, when you are going to be involved in more elevated activities, notably working with the mechatas, it's not sufficient that you use a cup to wash your hands, but rather you have to take your hands and stick them into a kosher mikvah. So there, as well, the Braisa tells us that you have to have kavana. V'chein amatbil yadav. So if you take your hands and put them in a mikvah, niskavin yadav taros, lo niskavin yadav tameos. So with kavana, your hands will be tar, and with no kavana, your hands are not going to be tar. So in this braisa, what we're saying very clearly is that in order to effectuate the tahara of your hands, you must have kavana, period. But even though it's period, v'atan, you have another braisa. Bein Niskavim, Bein Lo Niskavim, Yadav Taharos. And in the second brisa, it says you don't need Kavana. So it's a very simple stira between two brisas. One brisa says there is a requirement of Kavana, and the second brisa says there is no requirement. So I'm Rav Nachman Lo Kasha Kam B'chulin Kan L'Maiser. Okay, so the Gemara says it depends. If we're talking about washing your hands for Chulin, you don't need Kavana. If you're washing your hands for Maiser, and presumably anything above Maiser, meaning Maiser, Truma, Kodesh, right, whatever. Anything above Maiser, so you would need Kavana. That would be a really simple way to resolve the discrepancy between the two brises. Umenatemer de Chulin lo by Kavana. And again, the Gemara here doesn't give a Svara, but I think the Svara is pretty straightforward, and that is the washing of the hands for Chulin is a rabbinic institution, but it's baseline, meaning it's not something where I'm eating something that has any kind of kedusha. It doesn't have kedusha. It's chulin by definition. So therefore, even though the rabbinic requirement requires me to wash, but at the same time, however, kavana does not become essential. Okay, it's a svara pshuta, and I'm sure it goes much more than that. But but that would be a distinction. On the other hand, when you're eating maaser sheni, or for that matter, anything with kedusha, maaser sheni truma kodesh, when you're eating anything with truma, so the washing of the hands needs a certain level of kavana. And by the way, kavana is very simple, right? In other words, this you've heard me say many times. Kavana is very simple. Kavana just simply means I'm intentional about what I'm doing, meaning I'm washing my hands for the specific reason so that my hands now are tahor. Okay, that's a simple pshat of kavana. So umenat tamer dechun lo by kavana, and the Gemara says, now how do I know? Meaning, can you cite me a mishnah amongst the many mishnayos and seder taharos that will give us clear indication that for chulin you do not need kavana? And so what we're going to be doing over the first part of today's daf is we're going to be citing two mishnahs, one mishnah mikvahs, which we're going to see right now, and another mishnah machshirin. Okay, so the beauty of these dafim over here in the next week is that we get to learn a series of mishnahs that we normally don't see in the daf yomi. Okay, so we start now with a mishnah in mikvahs. Galshenit lashu barav b'himsav v'nafal adam v'ala kelim taharim. So over here, toveling in a wave. Okay, so just for the imaging purposes, and now imagine a really nice and big wave crashing on the ground, and you happen to be right underneath. You're there for the crash. So, and that crash of water, that crash of the wave, happens to have the requisite 40 saw. Okay, so in other words, we need, in order for a tefillah to be a kosher tefillah, so you have to be toveling in 40 saw of water. All right, just recently I did the conversion, and classic. I forgot exactly how much it is in terms of gallons, or approximately, we don't know exactly, but approximately how much it is in terms of gallons. Regardless, it is the amount of water where the average person's body can fit in at one time, right? We just recently gave a linear measurement. It's 3 amas by 1 ama by 1 ama, okay? So the 3 cubic amas. So the so if you are underneath the wave of the crash of the wave, so you and your kelim are going to be tar, meaning a successful tevila. So ketani adam dumya dekelim. And now after learning that mishnah in Mikvah, so we're going to make a really simple diuk. And that is that, look, it says that you and your kelim are going to be tahor. So ma kelim delav mechavne af adam delav mechavne. Look, did your kelim have kavana? The answer is no. They're inanimate objects. They did not have kavana. And by grouping the two together, adam and kelim, so just like your kelim don't need kavana, you don't need kavana. Umi mai. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear, but I'll tell you what, I could just offer you another pshan, that mishnah in Mikvos. And that is Dilma B'Yosheva Mitzapeh, Masayit LaShagal, Askinan. Uva Kelim Dumi Da'adam, Adam Davar Kavana, Av Kelim Demechavilohu. So it could very well be that, here's a pshat in the mishnah, and that is, no, you did have Kavana. You had Kavana for yourself, and you had Kavana for your Kelim. Meaning that what you're doing is that the wave didn't crash on you, just like out of nowhere. You specifically position yourself underneath the wave, so that you become tahor with the intention of, I plan on becoming tahor with this tefillah. Oh, and for the kelim, you also are going to have kavana as well. Meaning you have kavana that these kelim are going to become tahor. So you could easily say that that's the pshat in the mishnah in Mikvahs, and then just the opposite. Meaning the mishnah Mikvahs is telling us that you do need to have kavana. And the Gemara says, really, that's what the mishnah Mikvahs is talking about? So let me ask you a simple question. Where's the chiddush? You've stripped the Chiddush now out of that Mishnah Mikvahs. Every Mishnah, this is Yesod Gadol, every Mishnah is there to teach us a Chiddush, a novel idea. And now if you're telling me that the case over there is talking about where I'm having Kavana, so now where's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? So Sakadat Chamina Ligzer Demasi Lemitba Bechad L'Shal Geshamim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. Because what the Mishnah is telling us is that you could tovel using the crash of a wave. That's a tremendous Chiddush, because Now, if the rabbis allow that, meaning it's perfectly okay, but once, and if and when they do allow that, so then you'll say, okay, I could be tovel in any running water, which is not the case. So if the Chachamim would have permitted using the crash of a wave, which parenthetically they do, but if they would have allowed it, one would have thought or suspected that then people will erroneously conclude, hey, I could tovel with any running water. That's the Chardo Shogashamim. Now, why can't I tovel with running water? Stay tuned. I'm going to explain that point a little better. Inam and Egzer Rasha not to keep in. The Gemara says, oh, I'll give you another Chiddush in that Mishnah. And that is that when can you use the crash of a wave? When the wave crashes on you. You're on the ground, and the wave now comes down on the ground. However, let's say you tovel something not where the wave crashes, but rather on the kippa of the wave. Okay, so, and again, just it's a little bit hard to visualize while you're on the ground, but usually the circle of the wave, right, the tunnel of the wave is usually over the water, but still, just to explain this more in concept in the abstract, and that is that let's say I tovel not as the wave is crashing on me, but on the top of the cone, where I take either myself or whatever, I jump in the air, okay, not really that practical, or I take a kli and I put it and I hold my arm up. So now the water that's above now is providing the tefillah, the necessary amount of water, so that the kli becomes tahor. So you would have thought that that'd be okay as well. That's not okay. And the Gemara itself is going to explain why in just a moment. So now, even if I take kavana out of the Mishnah in Mikvos, remove it, meaning the Mishnah is talking about where you had kavana. Again, we could go either way on that. But let's say I remove that from the equation. The Mishnah is still telling us tremendous chidushim. And that is that I might have thought that if the Chachamim would allow toveling with the crash of a wave, one would then allow erroneously the toveling in running water. One would then allow toveling, not using the crash of the wave, but rather the top of the wave, the top of the tunnel. So, and which in both cases are no good. So kamash milan. That's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Delo gazrina, that the Chachamim did not make such a gzera. Okay. So now first let's deal with running water. So I can't tovel using running water. Why not? So Rashi over here says that there are two issues regarding the running water. The running water, we're talking about the slope of a mountain, a hard delicious shotefes. I'm reading Rashi over here, second Rashi. Shishotefes v'yoredes me'makum gavol v'yishbar arba'im sa'a. So it's running water now. It has the requisite 40 sa'a. V'atova ba'lo alta lo tefila mishum de'makum katapras u'makum zakuf yoser midai u'mem sa'a shabo einu be'makum echad. And so because the water is running, so therefore you run the risk of not having all 40 saw in one location. Says Rashi, that's issue number one. Vitznan, and Rashi quotes a Mishnah Taharos, Hanitzuk v'akataparos, eno chibor. So if I have a water that's connected, but the water is running, it doesn't provide its connection. And so therefore I don't have 40 saw in one spot. So v'af im eno kataparos, nami, ain't tov limbo. Rashi over here offers a second reason why it is that tefillah may not work here, and lefisha im megishamim mitarim derech zechilasam ashiu nikvin derech ashbarin. Here's another very basic halacha regarding mikvahs. There are two ways to tovel. Two different types of body waters that you could tovel in. One's a mikvah, the other's a mayan. Now, even though they both provide a tahara, but they're not the same. Mikvah, collected rainwater. Mayan, running spring water. Now, there's a very basic difference between the two when it comes to running spring water. So it works even though the water is running. In fact, the Mayan, by its very definition, is running water. So if you tovel in running spring water, that's perfect, that's fine. Let's say that will provide a tahara. On the other hand, if you tovel in a mikvah, it only works collected rainwater. It only works if the water is stationary. If the water is in motion, it doesn't work. Rashi over here brings down a medrash halacha, Taurus Kohanim, that makes this point. Anyway, that's a very basic difference. So now, when it comes to, just give me a second. So when it comes to the water that's running down the side of a mountain, the Gemara is assuming right now that that's rainwater. And if it's now in motion, so now it's no longer going to provide a tahara because it's running water. It's running rainwater, and that simply doesn't provide the tahara. So there are two, right, with pun intended, there are two pitfalls regarding the running water that comes down from the mountain, which is no good. So now the Gemara is assuming that if the Chachamim would allow the crash of a wave, which does work, so then one would assume, oh, if the crash of the wave works, so then what's wrong with the water running down the mountain, which in fact does not work. Yeah, Ben?
Isn't the source of the Mayan rainwater also?
The Torahs Kohanim breaks up the pasuk, meaning it's in the same pasuk, and you could see the end of the Rashi, but it's part of our Masorah, it's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh, even though it's in the same pasuk, but it's broken up, right? Achma Ayan, Rashi brings down whatever
the source of Mayan is not rainwater.
It's Mayan and Mikvah are in the same pasuk, but they're two separate entities. They have a bifurcated halacha. That's what the Medrash teaches.
Well, logically,
they're saying that Mayan water is not a rainwater. The Mayan water is assuming to be a natural spring water, right? The water coming from underground. In my most recent trip to the West Coast of Florida, so there was a couple of spring waters that you can go in. I couldn't figure a way to go in privately and modestly. Say they're public places, although they're hot springs. So I had at least a thought to go in. Just couldn't find private time. Okay, anyway, so the Uminat Tamra. We're back to the Gemara. Uminat Tamra Delamat Bilan Bekipan. And now the Gemara over here just simply is noting that in terms of a wave, so you can only tovel when the wave crashes, but not while it's in the air. How do I know that, Titania? So here we quote a Mishnah. It's really a Tosefta Mikvos, but anyway, Mat Bilan Barashim, Ein Mat Bilan Bekipan, Lefishim Mat Bilan Ba'avir. Really interesting idea, and that is that when the wave hasn't yet crashed, it's in the air, it's not grounded. And so therefore, even though there's enough water in terms of the water requirement, it's there, but the water is not grounded. In order for water to work as an effective means of tahara, the water must be grounded. It must be actually physically connected to the ground. Okay. Elamehadidnan. Okay, so now that we just went through that Mishnah Mikvos, so we wanted to prove that for chulin you don't need kavana. So we failed on our first attempt, right? That Mishnah Mikvah seems to have indicated that you don't need kavana, but now we give another pshat in that Mishnah Mikvah, and so we are looking for a Mishnah that tells us that for chulin I don't need kavana. So what are we going to do? We're going to turn to our attention to another Mishnah. Elamehadidnan. So here we have a Mishnah in Machshirin. Okay, we all know the rule when in order for a fruit or any food to become susceptible to tuma, it first has to come into contact with liquid. What liquids? Seven liquids. The yad shachadam. That's a mnemonic to help you remember what the seven liquids are. We're not going to go through them right now. Water is right now the only one that we're going to be focusing on. So water has to come into contact with any food in order for the food to become susceptible to tuma, which means that if a food hasn't come into contact with water or any one of the seven liquids, so then the food is totally impervious to tuma. You could be touching it all day with a davar tameh, and the food's not going to become tameh. Good. So this is the process of what's called machshirin, and rule number one by machshirin, and that is that the water has to go onto the food with intent. It has to be that I wanted the water to be there, or any one of the seven liquids to be there. If it came into contact with the water incidentally, and I had no interest in that happening, so it's not mukhshir lekabel tuma. Okay, that's rule number one. And whenever talking about machshirin, that basically is the rule that you have to keep in mind. Now, with that stated, so we're learning here a Mishnah in machshirin and perish enough l'soch amas amayim. So let's say I have fruit that fell into a canal. Upashat mishiyadav tmeos v'natlan. So now, let's say you go pick the fruit up from that water. Now, it happens to be that the water now is going to have a dual purpose. One, your hands are tummy. You'd love it if your hands were taller. So now, if you're putting your hands into the canal, now you're only doing so in order to get the fruit, but you want, right now, would love it if your hands became tahor. So under those circumstances, so now, two things are going to be happening. Number one, yadav tahoros, uperos eino b'chiyutan. Your hands are going to become tahor, that's number one. And number two, the peros themselves now are mukhshir l'kabel tumah. Now, even though this is an interesting Mishnah, it does require more thought, and I'm not gonna analyze the Mishnah right now the way it should be, but the water that you want right now is not so much vis-a-vis the fruit. The water that you want right now is vis-a-vis that your hands become tahor. But still, that's considered ratzon, and therefore the fruit now are going to be considered mukhshir l'kabel tumah. Now, the imbishol shiyutchu yadav taros va'aperos harehein b'chiyutan. I jumped the gun in terms of saying pshat in the Mishnah. The v'natlan yadav taharos uperos inan b'chiyutam. Sorry. If you only wanted your hands to become tahor, and that's the only reason why you put your hands into the water, so now that your hands obviously are tahor, but the pears are not considered mukshar. The im bishvil sheyudchu, however, if what you wanted to do was you wanted to wash your hands, right? The im bishvil sheyudchu yadav, so yadav tahoros va pears harein bechiyutan. So if you wanted more than just tahara, you wanted to actually wash your hands, now that's considered beratzon. Sorry, I mixed up the two parts of the Mishnah. Now the water is considered beratzon, and now the pears are mukshar lekabel tuma. Harein bechiyutan. Okay, so what comes out over here is as follows. As far as my hands becoming tahor, it really doesn't matter whether I put my hands in there for the purposes of tahara, or even if I didn't put my hands in there for the purposes of tahara, my hands are going to become tahor. And then the only question becomes whether or not the pears become mukshar lekabel tuma or not, whether that water qualifies as beratzon or eino beratzon. But what comes out from that Mishnah Machshirim pretty clearly is that your hands are going to become tahor regardless of what your kavan is when you put your hands into the water. Okay, so we have a Mishnah. That Mishnah Machshirim has taught us that that washing your hands does not require kavanah. Okay, good. With that stated, the Gemara continues. Eisvei Rabba l'Rab Nachman atav l'chulin behuchzik l'chulin aser l'maiser. This is our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. When you wash your hands for chulin, and you had intention for chulin, that's the key, so then your hands are now going to be kept at chulin. Meaning that, remember, we said we discussed yesterday in the Mishnah, that once you have a certain mindset while washing your hands, or toveling in the mikvah, so then whatever that mindset is, you cannot go on in any kind of elevated status. Meaning you're going to have to go tovel again for something that's more elevated. That's what we learned yesterday. So over here, this is a line of the Mishnah, which is that when you tovel for chulin, and you're huchzak l'chulin, so you're kept at chulin, you can't eat meiser. But meanwhile, what is the Mishnah basically telling us? That you have to have intent when toveling for chulin. So huchzak in la huchzak lo. And now, as much as we saw the Mishnah in Mikvos and in Machshirin, isn't our Mishnah in Chagiga telling us that you need to have kavana for chulin? So hello, the Gemara says no. Hachi perush, hachi kamar. Afa bishuchzak l'chulin asala meiser. No, the Mishnah is just simply telling us the following. Look, you don't have to have intention for chulin. But if I did have intention for chulin, I might have thought, okay, good. Right? I did good. I had intention when I didn't need to have. So you know what? At least now allow me to eat meiser with these hands that were washed. And I had intention. Now, granted, I only had intention for chulin, but I didn't even need intention for chulin. So one could have considered and thought, okay, so at least now you had intention for something you didn't need intention for. So now your hands are good for not only chulin, your hands are good for meiser sheni. And that's what the Mishnah wants to teach us. No, that even though you had intention unnecessarily, but still, since your intention was only for chulin, you're going to be kept at chulin. Once again, we're going to go back to our Mishnah. This is another line of our Mishnah. And that is that if you had no kavana when you wash your hands, so it's ki'ilo lo tavo, it's as if you didn't tovel in the mikvah. Again, sounds like you need kavana. So my love kilo tavakla, lo kilo tavala meiser, aval tavala chulin. So the Gemara now gives a pshat, and that is no. What the Mishnah means is that no. It means that if you had no kavana, it will afford you the ability to eat chulin, and just nothing above that. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. Now who suffered dachu de chamatchile? Now, when hearing this answer, he thought to himself, that's not a good pshat. Right now, he's tired of me. He really wants me out of the base medrash right now, or at least he wants me out of his view. And he's just pushing me off right now. That's not really the pshat in the Mishnah. But meanwhile, nafak dak v'ashkach. But after doing a little bit more research, he discovers that that's actually the pshat in the Mishnah. The Tanya, we'll enter the Brisa. Tavav alo husuk asul ha-maiser umutur l'chulin. The Brisa says very clearly that if I tovel without any kavana, so you're good for chulin. That's the Brisa. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the first end of today's daf, first half of today's daf. I know we saw more of the Amud Aleph, but... what comes out over here, very clearly from the Gemara's conclusion, is that for chulin, you do not need kavana. Is there any kind of lechatchila? Is there any kind of ideal that you should have kavana for chulin? Unsure, unclear. But certainly the halacha is, as the Gemara's conclusion is, that for chulin, you don't have kavana. We learned this morning, in order to fortify that point, a Mishnah Mikvos, a Mishnah Machshirin, a Braisa, and they all speak to the ideal, although you could navigate through the Mishnayos, but they all speak to the idea that you don't need kavanah for chulin. That's the first point of today's daf. That's conclusion number one. We'll continue in the Gemara. We're on Yotes Amud Aleph. We are about two-thirds of the way down. So, and we start now with a new halacha of Rebbe Lazar. Amar Rav Elazar Tavava Ala Machzik Atzma L'chol Ma Sheyirtze. Okay, what I would call the blank check of toveling in the mikvah. And that is, you tovel in the mikvah, and you come up from the mikvah, so you're now done, and you didn't have any kavanah while toveling, or while coming up, but in other words, what you can do now is that you can assign that tefillah post facto to whatever you want to. So, tavel ve'ala machzik asma l'chol ma sheyirtze. Okay, now this statement of Rav Elazar, meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge. And that is odei raglo achas b'mayim mochzok l'davar kal machzik atzmo l'davar chamor machzik atzmo l'davar chamor Allah shuvein machzik. So let's say you're coming out of the mikvah, you still have 1 foot in the mikvah. Okay, so as you're coming out, you still have some connection to the mikvah. So at that point in time, so if let's say you would like to shift gears to something which is more elevated kedusha, you may do so. Once you come out, however, you can no longer have the ability to shift gears. Okay, so, and move to something with more kedusha. Sounds like from that, let's call it a brisa, that once you come out of the mikvah, you're done. You're locked in. So, my love, eino mochzik klal, lo, ode alfa pishe huchzik machzik machzik. Allah, im lo huchzik machzik, v'im huchzik eino machzik. So the Gemara says no. In other words, that brisa doesn't challenge Rav Elazar at all. In fact, what the brisa is telling us is as follows. You went into the mikvah and you had a particular kavanah in mind. Okay, so now you can change while being in the mikvah. And even as you come out of the mikvah, as long as the foot's still in the mikvah, you can change as well. But once you come out of the mikvah, and here's the important point, and you're already locked into a particular level, so that's it. At that point in time, you can't change. What Rav Elazar was describing is he went into the mikvah with no designation whatsoever. Under those circumstances, now you can lock in post facto even after you come out of the mikvah. Okay. How does it work? Great question. Right? Okay. The only thing I will say to help out in terms of understanding is that these are malos. In other words, this idea over here of toveling with certain levels in mind is a din de rabbanon. So over here, with a certain flexibility, that it would even work post facto. I like your question more than I like my answer. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Das, Rabbi, I'm sorry, Mantana, my love, Mochzak in Klal. I'm sorry, Shochzak Mala Ela Imlo Mochzak Im Hozak in a Machzak. Mantana, sorry. Yutas Amadal, 2/3 down. Mantana Odeh Raglo Achas Mamayim. So this idea that with your foot still in the water, meaning you're coming out, but you still have a toe left in the water. Toe, foot. So who's of that position that is considered as if you're still in the mikvah? So they go, Amar Rapidas, Rabbi Yehudi. So Rapidas says it's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And what Rapidas is saying is not everyone's in agreement. Okay, and did not. So here we learn together today another Mishnah Mikvos. Mishnah teaches us, Mikvah Shinim Dad V'yesh Ba'arbaim Sa Mechuvanos. So here an interesting scenario. The mikvah has precisely 40 sa of water in it. Now, v'yadu shnayim v'tavlu zeh achar zeh. So, two people are toveling in the mikvah, one after the other. So, harishon tar v'asheni tamei. So, the first person is going to be tar, the second person is going to be tamei. With the assumption, of course, is that some of the water is going to be sticking to the body of the first person who toveled. So, as he goes into the mikvah, he's fine. As he comes out of the mikvah, his tahara was effective. However, he took some of the water with him as he came out of the mikvah. Now, what does that leave for the second person? Chaser. The mikvah now does not have the requisite 40 saw. So, and therefore, it doesn't work for the second person. So far, so good. That part's clear. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, im hayu raglav sharisha nogos b'mayim afasheni tar. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us a fascinating halacha. And that is that when the first person comes out and his foot is still in the mikvah, so now when the second person tovels in the mikvah, the second person is going to have a tvila tahara. It will be a good tvila. Why? Because all the water that's on the body of that first person is considered as if it's still in the mikvah. Ah. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Machlokes b'Malos de Rabbanan. This idea over here, meaning the Gemara is assuming right now that we have a debate between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama of that Mishnah, and now the Amoraim are going to be deliberating. When do they debate? So Machlokes b'Malos de Rabbanan. So according to Rav Nachman, the Machlokes is only by our discussion of this rabbinic requirement to have levels, meaning that you're going to be toveling not for basic tahara, but you're toveling because you want to elevate on a level. Aval mitum l'tahara divrei hakol hasheni tameh. So v'hainu d'Rabbi Pedas. But if we're talking about basic tahara, meaning you're actually tameh and you want a tahor, and this idea now that the water on the first person now is considered as if it's still in the mikvah because his foot's still in the water. So for that, we're not going to go that far. Even Rav Yehuda would agree that it doesn't work. And now what Rav Nachman is basically saying is that I agree with Rabbi Pedas, that if we're talking about basic tahara, so then even Rav Yehuda would not subscribe to this idea that the water is viewed as if the water is going down. Ikadamre. The Gemara says, second version of Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Abaravu, Machlok is mitumala tahara. Now, in version number two, Rav Nachman saying, no, this idea that the water on the first person is considered as if it's still in the mikvah, that's even by basic tahara. If we're talking about just simply upgrading and levels of tahara, so for that, everyone agrees that it works. The water is viewed as if it's still in the mikvah. But when it comes to basic tahara, so there, according to Rav Nachman in the second version, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. Amar Ula by me name Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda Ma'alat Bil Machtim Mitzinoros Barosho Sharishon. Okay, so within now the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is a really interesting concept. This idea that water on the body, as long as his foot's in the mikvah, is considered as if it's in the mikvah. Now that's going in a downward direction. Let's ask now the following question. Let's say that this person now, as he's exiting the mikvah with water on his body and his foot still in the mikvah, let's say he has a needle on the top of his head. And so now, what do we say? We said that we view the water as if it's going down. How about this? Maybe we could also view the water as if it's going up. Meaning to say that basically that water on his body is a conductor in both directions, both headed downward and also going upwards as well. And so now that mikvah on the top of his head is considered as if it's in the mikvah. Are you prepared to say that? So good achis is the Rabbi Yehuda, good asik leislu, or dama, good asik nami islay. So do we say good asik as well as good achis? These are bar terms, good achis, good asik. So you remember back in Sukkah, walls going down, good achis, or good asik, walls going up. Okay, fine. So just one second. So so over here we're borrowing that terminology to describe the direction of the water. Meaning for water to go down, we're more inclined to say that. Over here, as far as word choice is concerned, so with pun intended. Okay, we're more inclined to say that because the general pull of gravity brings things down. So as you come out of the mikvah, there's still water on your body and your toe's still in the water. So now we could see the water as still being connected to the mikvah because anyway, the water is heading downward. Okay, but over here now, and that's good achis. Again, to borrow the term of it's headed downward. But now we're suggesting, at least entertaining the idea that the water may also be able to go up as well, that's more novel. That's a bigger chiddush. And the Gemara wants to know, are you prepared to even say that? So Amalei Tenisui says, prepared to say that? Hey, I know the following. It's a Tosefta Mikvos. Shalosh Gamimios Benachal Yonah Tachton Vayim Tzais. So basically, we're once again at an incline, and we're looking at three pools of water on this incline. Each one of them elevated one over the other. So Al Yonah Vatachton Shal Esrim Sa'a. So as far as the top and the bottom one are concerned, each one of them have 20 sa'a. The emtsa'ya shall arba'im sa'a. The middle one's got 40 sa'a. V'chardlo shall gshamim overs beinehem. With a stream of water connecting all three. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meir Haya Omer, Matbel be'elyona. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, citing Rabbi Meir, so you can tovel even in the top one. Now the top one only has 20 sa'a. So how is toveling in the top one going to be effective? You can even really ask a more basic question. How you even fitting in the top one? Okay. Sorry, I don't have a great answer for that, but it doesn't matter. In other words, again, I'm just going to deal with it conceptually. You can even tovel in the top one. The top one doesn't have the requisite amount. Okay, I know the top one doesn't have the requisite amount. But nevertheless, it's connected to the middle one. But that connection now, in order for us to view the connection, we're going to have to be going uphill. Exactly the point. Meaning we are prepared to say that connection works even upwards, upbounds. Now we learned in another brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meir Haya Omer Matbel Be'elyona, Ve'ani Omer B'tachtona V'lo Be'elyona. So he says, wait one second. I have a brisa, and the brisa teaches me that Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Meir allows you to tovel on the top one, but I say, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't tovel on the top one. So in other words, because in the second brisa that just cited, so we're not allowing connection to work up, uphill. Connection only works down, but not headed up, upwards. So the Gemara's response is, "Itanya Tanya." He says, "Okay, new. You have a brisa. If you have a brisa, I'm not ready to dispute you. Meaning, in lamdus, I could see it being the same. But if you have a brisa, so then fine. So then I'm just going to have to capitulate to your brisa." Okay, so a question in the Gemara: whether or not we're able, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're able to do view water as not only headed down but headed up as well. Okay, we're going to stop over here because even though we are just at the top of the Amud Beis, but a really short Amud Beis, and this really ends the sugya. And let's just quickly recap our daf today. Okay, so we started off just by ending yesterday's daf in terms of being miyashiv the stira. You have to wash your hands for chulin. You don't have to wash your hands for chulin. And the answer is yes, that's right. And the Gemara's resolution is that for bread you do have to wash your hands, and for fruit you do not need to wash your hands. So Rav Nachman says washing hands for fruit is megase haruach. That's a level of a degree of religious arrogance. Okay, now and over this morning I just quickly went over two reasons why it is that Chachamim have us washing our hands for bread of chulin. Okay, good. So that was the beginning of today's daf. Kavana. The first sugya of today was whether or not for washing your hands for chulin you need kavana. You don't need kavana for washing your hands of chulin. Once you toveling for anything above that, Maaser Sheni, Truma, Kodesh, so you need to have kavana. When you're washing your hands or toveling, whatever the requirement is, so you need to have kavana when you do so. But for chulin, you don't have to have kavana. Now, why is it that you don't need to have kavana? So the Gemara doesn't say. But presumably the answer is because the washing for chulin is a mala, it's in of itself a rabbinic stringency, and they just simply did not demand and require to have kavana. Probably it's ideal to have kavana, but it's not a requirement. How do I know it's not a requirement? So this morning, in the course of discussing it, we went through a Mishnah in Mikvaos and Machshirin. We saw a Braisa. The conclusion of the Gemara is very clear. You don't need kavana for chulin. Next discussion that we had, and that is the blank check. Let's say you tovel in the mikvah with no intention for anything, and you come out of the mikvah. So what you could do post facto, retroactively, is that you can assign that mikvah for the mala that you need it for. So that's the idea of Rav Elazar. We seem to have a braisa that would indicate that you can't do that. The braisa says only when your foot's in the water, then and only then can you reassign. But once the foot is out of the water, you can't reassign. But the Gemara says, yeah, but that was talking about a case where you were locked in already. Once you're locked in, you can't go up. But over here, Rav Elazar was talking about where you had no kavana and you toveled in the mikvah. So once you come out, retroactively, you can assign a level. And the last thing that we discussed today was basically water on the body where your foot is in the mikvah is considered as if it's still in the mikvah. So this is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We saw this Mishnah in Mikvaos that says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if your foot's still in the water, it's considered that all the water in your body is still connected to the water below. And if the mikvah, let's say, had exactly 40 sa, you took the mikvah, you came out, you took some water with you, but if your foot's in the water, that mikvah is ki'ilu, it has all 40 sa in it. Tremendous chiddush by Rabbi Yehuda, a discussion amongst the Amoraim. Does that work only for ma'alos, only for the extra levels of tahara necessary? Or does it even work for basic tahara? This was a machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Rav Pedas was clearly of the position, it only works for ma'alos, it doesn't work for basic tahara. And Rav Nachman, in version number 2, said no, it works even for basic tahara as well. And then within this idea that the water goes down, so how about the other direction? Can we say that the water even goes up? So that means to say that the person now with a foot still in the mikvah, and now he has a kli on the top of his head, so can we now view that kli as if it's in the mikvah? Are we able to move the mikvah upbound in addition to moving it downbound? What the Gemara describes as good asik, going up. So does that work? So the Amoraim debate that issue on the last part of today's daf, and the Gemara ended up by saying a braisa that, according to Rav Yehuda, no, it doesn't work upbound, it only works downbound. Okay, adkan. Okay.